Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. A significant development in India-China border talks has just taken place, with the 35th meeting of the Working Mechanism for Consultation and Coordination on India-China Border Affairs being held in Beijing, marking a crucial step in the ongoing efforts to resolve the border disputes between the two nations. First, let's dive into the details of this meeting. The 35th meeting of the WMCC was held on 27 May 2026 and was led by Sujit Ghosh, Joint Secretary, East Asia, in the Ministry of External Affairs, who headed the Indian delegation. The Chinese side was led by Hou Yangqi, Director General of the Boundary and Oceanic Affairs Department in the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs. During this meeting, both sides reviewed the situation along the 3,488-kilometer line of actual control, discussed the delimitation of the border, and talked about trans-border rivers. They also agreed to prepare for the next meeting of the special representatives, which will be held in China. It's worth noting that the WMCC operates below the level of the special representatives' talks, which have been going on since 2003, and is part of the three-tier architecture of India-China border diplomacy. What makes this significant is that the government of India has consistently maintained that Aksai Chin and Arunachal Pradesh are integral parts of India and has rejected China's attempts to rename places in Arunachal Pradesh, including the 30 places that China renamed in April 2024. Despite these differences, bilateral trade between India and China has been growing and is now worth around $127 billion, according to the figures for the financial year 2025. Now, let's turn to another important development, which is the achievement of Sikkim in becoming the fifth fully literate state in India under the Ullas program, also known as the Understanding of Lifelong Learning for All in Society, or Nav Bharat Saksharta Karyakram. This milestone was officially declared on 28 May 2026 at the 7th convocation of Sikkim University in Gangtok, in the presence of President Draupadi Murmu. Sikkim has achieved a remarkable 99.82% literacy rate, surpassing the 95% benchmark for the 15-plus age group. This has been made possible through the certification of 14,447 out of 15,361 identified non-literate adults who were certified through the FLNAT test conducted by the National Institute of Open Schooling. Sikkim is the fifth state to achieve this feat, after Mizoram, Goa, Tripura, and Himachal Pradesh, and is also the sixth state or union territory to do so, with Ladakh being the other. Building on this, it's worth noting that the Ullas program was launched in 2022 with an outlay of 1,037.90 crore and aims to operationalize the National Education Policy 2020's focus on adult education, with a target of making 5 crore non-literate adults literate by 2027. This is a significant initiative, and one that has the potential to make a major impact on the lives of millions of people in India. Now, let's move on to the next topic, which is the recommendation by the Supreme Court Collegium of 5 new judges to the Supreme Court. The Collegium, headed by Chief Justice of India Surya Kant, finalized these recommendations on 27 May 2026, and they include 4 High Court Chief Justices, Justices Sheel Nagu, Sri Chandrasekhar, Sanjeev Sachdeva, and Arun Palli, as well as Senior Advocate V. Mohana. If confirmed, V. Mohana's elevation would increase the number of sitting women judges in the Supreme Court from 1 to 2, with Justice B. V. Nagaratna being the current lone woman judge, who is also in line to become India's first woman Chief Justice of India in September 2027. Crucially, the Supreme Court has a sanctioned strength of 34 judges, as per the Supreme Court Number of Judges Act, 1956, which was amended in 2019. The collegium system, which is responsible for making recommendations for appointments to the higher judiciary, has its roots in the three judges' cases of 1981, 1993 and 1998, and was restored after the National Judicial Appointments Commission verdict in 2015, which struck down the 99th Constitutional Amendment of 2014. It is worth pausing here to note that the Supreme Court has also made a significant ruling on the right to trauma care, holding that this right is integral to the right to life under Article 21 of the Constitution. In the case of Save Life Foundation versus the Union of India, a bench of Justices J.K. Maheshwari and Atul S. Chandurkar directed all states and union territories to integrate every emergency and ambulance helpline into the single helpline number 112 within 3 months. The court also directed the operationalization of the Good Samaritan scheme, which provides for a reward of 5,000 to individuals who help road accident victims. This scheme is statutorily anchored in Section 134 of the Motor Vehicles Act, 2019. Now, let's turn to the topic of India's response to the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo. On 28 May 2026, India dispatched emergency pharmaceutical supplies, including diagnostics, therapeutics, personal protective equipment, and infection prevention materials to the Africa CDC's Eastern Africa Regional Coordinating Center in Uganda for onward deployment to the affected areas in Eastern DRC. The World Health Organization had declared a public health emergency of international concern on 17 May 2026, and as of 27 May, the outbreak had resulted in over 1,000 suspected cases and more than 220 deaths. The Bundi Bugyo strain of the Ebola virus, which is responsible for this outbreak, has a historic case fatality rate of around 25-50%, making it a highly virulent and deadly disease. And here is something that surprises many students: India's response to this outbreak is not just a one-off effort, but is part of a larger legacy of health diplomacy, which includes the Vaccine Maitri initiative launched in January 2021 and the extension of lines of credit worth around $12.4 billion to 42 African countries. This is a significant example of India's growing role in global health governance and its commitment to supporting other countries in times of need. Now, let's move on to the topic of the High-Level Committee on Demographic Changes, which was notified by the Ministry of Home Affairs on 26 May 2026. This committee, which is chaired by Justice, retired Prakash Prabhakar Navlekar, a former Supreme Court judge and Chief Justice of the Guwahati High Court, has been set up to assist the shifts in population in border areas, urban centers, industrial corridors, and tribal belts, driven by illegal immigration and other factors. The committee will also recommend a time-bound action plan to address these changes. The relevant laws that will guide the committee's work include the Citizenship Act, 1955, the Foreigners Act, 1946, and the Passport, Entry into India, Act, 1920. Now, let's turn to the topic of Menstrual Hygiene Day, which is observed globally on 28 May. This day is also celebrated as the International Day of Action for Women's Health and is an opportunity to raise awareness about the importance of menstrual hygiene and the need to support women's health and reproductive rights. The theme for this year's Women's Health Day is Essential, Not Optional, Strengthening Health Systems to Uphold Health Rights and SRHIJ in Times of Polycrisis, while the theme for Menstrual Hygiene Day is Together for a Hush Period-Friendly World. In India, according to the National Family Health Survey 5, 77.3% of women aged 15 to 24 use hygienic methods of menstrual protection, and the maternal mortality ratio is 97 per 100,000 live births. With that background in place, let's look at some other important news. Indian shooter Isha Singh has won a gold medal in the women's 25-meter pistol event at the ISSF World Cup in Munich with a world record final score of 43. This is India's first individual shooting medal of the 2026 ISSF World Cup season, and has earned ISHA Direct qualification for the ISSF World Cup final in Rome in December 2026. Nepal is also celebrating its 18th Republic Day on 28 May, which marks the anniversary of the declaration of the Federal Democratic Republic of Nepal in 2008. This day is a significant milestone in Nepal's history and is an opportunity to reflect on the country's progress and challenges. Finally, India's U23 freestyle wrestling team has won the team title at the Asian Wrestling Championships in Da Nang, Vietnam, with a total of 27 medals, including 11 gold, 7 silver, and 9 bronze. This is India's best-ever performance at the U23 Asian Championships and is a testament to the growing strength of Indian wrestling. Now, let's lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The CE20 engine is not relevant to this topic, but we do have some important numbers to note. The 35th meeting of the WMCC was held on 27 May 2026, and the ULLAS program has a target of making 5 crore non-literate adults literate by 2027. The Supreme Court has a sanctioned strength of 34 judges, and the Good Samaritan scheme provides for a reward of 5,000 to individuals who help road accident victims. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? These topics are all relevant to the GS Paper 2 syllabus, which includes international relations, education, polity, and health. The questions that can be asked from these topics are varied, but some possible examples include: what is the significance of the WMCC in India-China border diplomacy? What are the key features of the ULLAS program, and how does it relate to the National Education Policy 2020? What is the collegium system, and how does it work? In conclusion, these developments highlight the complex and interconnected nature of global events and the need for a nuanced understanding of the underlying issues and challenges. As you prepare for the UPSC exam, remember to stay up to date with current events and to analyze the broader implications of these developments for India's strategic position and global role.